This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by 3010weightlossforlife.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? The Biden administration.
President Biden signed an executive order today, the two-year anniversary of the death of George Floyd. This was yet another moment to lie about police and ignore the actual issues of crime in this country. I know that there was this big push for police reform, but we have a crime crisis that's impacting millions and millions and millions of people. We have a surge in homicides. We have a surge in robberies and theft, a surge in assaults. Washington State is going through yet another year of violent crime. Look at how many homicides in Tacoma. Look at Tacoma. Look at Seattle. Look at the carjackings in Bellingham. What is it up now? 200% year over year? Look at the domestic violence cases in Yakima. Through the roof. We have a serious problem, but let's continue to go after the police. Because didn't you know the police, they go into neighborhoods looking for black people to murder? They're the true threat. They're the ones who are the biggest. It's an existential threat. Police towards black Americans? That's an existential threat. How many unarmed police shootings of black people were there so far this year? Any ideas? Because this is an existential threat. This is the biggest threat to the black community. How many police shot and killed black people who were unarmed? Any ideas? Probably not, right? We haven't heard any. But maybe the media is suppressing the story. I don't know why MSNBC and CNN, the New York Times, the Washington Post would suppress. But let me look it up. Oh, two. Two instances of police shooting of an unarmed black person. No idea whether or not it was justified yet. Both of the cases, the suspect was fleeing. But existential threat. Oh, one of them was fleeing. Excuse me. Existential threat. And Republicans are just getting in the way of any progress because Republicans are just the worst. Am I right? The
House passed a strong bill. It failed in the Senate.
After ignoring the Tim Scott bill because he's a black Republican and you didn't want people to realize that they exist.
Where our Republican colleagues opposed any meaningful reform.
Oh, okay. Meaningful reform.
So we got to work on this executive order. It was grounded in key elements of the Justice and Policing Act and reflects inputs of a broad coalition represented here today.
Okay, let's talk about the meaningful reforms that he's pushing. He is encouraging state and local police to tighten restrictions on chokeholds. Wow, doesn't that sound meaningful? That's really going to have an impact. Granted, many police departments, especially the big city police departments, already do that. But yeah, meaningful. Yeah, we got it. They will restrict the transfer of military equipment to law enforcement agencies. Because what sounds like a great idea, having just experienced the summer of love in 2020, is to take away tools that can be used to protect communities from riots. And perfect timing, too, to do that right ahead of the summer of rage coming from the left. Mandate all federal agents wear body cams. That's a good one. But Republicans didn't get in the way of that. You can do that right now. They should. Create a national registry of officers fired for misconduct. What kind of misconduct? As determined by who? And if a cop who truly is a bad one resigns, do they get put on the list? Just kind of curious. I mean, this is, again, existential threat.
The families here today and across the country have had to ask why this nation, why so many black Americans wake up knowing they could lose their life in the course of just living their life today.
Oh, really?
Simply jogging, shopping, sleeping at home. Whether they made headlines or not, lost souls gone too soon. Members of Congress, including many here today, like Senator Cory Booker and Congressman Karen Bass,
alongside members of the Congressional Black Caucus, House and Senate Judiciary Committees, spent countless hours on the George Floyd Justice Policing Act to find a better answer to that question.
Well, they didn't find an answer to that question because it's a bad faith question that it's not based at all in reality. When you cherry pick certain stories, you can paint whatever picture you want, but it's not necessarily reflective of the reality. And what he just said is not the reality. What he just said has nothing to do with the reality. But it continues to push this line that cops are evil, that cops are the bad guys. And I will give credit to a Democrat who came out in favor of police this week. Because I do believe that when a politician who's on the other side of issues normally for us, when they do something that's the right thing, we should give them credit. Because coming out in favor of police in the Democratic Party right now, not very popular amongst the base. London Breed, the mayor of San Francisco, joined law enforcement groups in boycotting, essentially, the upcoming Pride Parade in San Francisco. Why? Because the Pride Parade decided to ban law enforcement officers from wearing their uniforms. So credit where credit's due. She's standing up and saying, yeah, no, I'm not going to participate then. We're not going to do that to our police department. She put out a statement. I love the Pride Parade and what it means for our LGBTQ community and for our city. It's one of my favorite events of the year. However, if the Pride Board does not reverse its decision, I will join our city public safety departments that are not participating in the Pride Parade. Let's be very clear about who we're talking about. Brave women and men who not only have the courage to put on their uniforms and go out and risk their lives every day to serve our city, but who also have the courage to do so as openly out women and men in uniform. Kudos to her. Kudos to her for pushing back. Now, maybe someone would say, because I don't know the politics on the ground in San Francisco all that closely, I'm sure some people would say, this is just a political move. Because the residents realize what's going on. They're about to recall Chesa Boudin, the DA in San Francisco, because of his anti-police policy. She's just doing this. And I remember her anti-police rhetoric before. Yeah, I do too. I remember her embracing the BLM movement. But I don't, you know, frankly, I don't care if this is political. This is the right thing to do. The San Francisco Police Officers Pride Alliance said its members would not be participating in the parade. They said it felt like officers were being forced to go back into the closet by not being allowed to wear their uniforms proudly. They put out a statement. I do like this statement. And it could only come from, and I'm saying this because I'm a member of the community, it could only come from gay cops, this statement. Because it's amazing. Let us be clear. This committee would not order the leather community to wear polyester at the parade. That's a good line. That's a great line. This committee would not order the drag community to wear flannel. But they told us, peace officers, that if we wear our uniforms, we may not attend. In solidarity, the city's fire department said it will not be attending the march. So march is supposed to be about inclusivity. We're all about inclusivity, unless you're a cop. Oh, you could show up. Just don't wear your uniform, because we don't want to be able to identify you as a cop, because it might trigger people in the community. Yeah, okay. It's not going to trigger anyone.
Firefighters united with the police department on that?
Yep.
That's breaking huge Hollywood stereotypes of firefighters and police officers not getting along.
They're building a bridge.
That's incredible. The softball game will be off the charts this year, because according to my knowledge from Hollywood, every fire department and police department have softball games against each other.
Yeah, and it always leads to a contentious match in which the team that wins is the focus of the title of the movie or TV show. So if it's about firefighters, they come up big in the end. Because those cops, they try to cheat.
Has there ever been an actual, like, real-life police officer, firefighter softball game? Is that, like, a thing that happens?
No, they loathe each other. They hate each other more than anything in the world. No, I'm kidding. I'm assuming there have been. But not softball. Come on, guys.
It's always softball.
Well, we have to do one that evens things out. Because not everyone's athletic, so we got to pick a non-sport. Babies. The IRS continues to be aggressive. They are increasing the numbers of officers in Washington State. Don't try to take on the IRS yourself. Contact our local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn, at Nunn Better Tax Resolution. He'll help. N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Your health.
Monkeypox is here, and my assumption is it means we are all going to get it, and it's not going
to
be good.
Most people recover in 2 to 4 weeks, but the disease can be serious, especially for immunocompromised people, children, and pregnant women, the same groups that are vulnerable to many infectious diseases.
Oh, okay. So the people who are generally vulnerable are still vulnerable? Okay. Is that that's it? So this is more about the media's obsession about fear-mongering around another potential epidemic or pandemic?
Shut down the economy, Jason. Okay. Everyone work from home.
We did get our first case this week in King County.
The case is an adult male with international travel in the past month to a country that has also reported monkeypox cases recently.
That's Dr. Jeff Duchin from King County, Seattle Public Health. So the way that it sounds, when you listen to the symptoms, if you have monkeypox, and I still have yet to find out why they call it that. It's not from a monkey.
Well, it's chicken pox from a chicken?
Yeah.
Oh.
From eggs.
Actually?
I don't know. I think so. I don't know. Shut up. Measles aren't from measles, so why are you complaining?
What's a measle?
It's a little bug, isn't it?
You should have said a male weasel.
Oh, it's a male weasel. It kind of sounds like COVID plus an STD. That's the way it sounds.
This is a rare viral illness that's uncommon in the U.S. The illness can begin with flu-like symptoms and swelling of lymph nodes, COVID, followed by a rash on the face and body,
or
with an isolated rash in the genital or groin area.
Isolated.
By the way, you don't have to say genital or groin area. Just say one. They're the same thing. What's the difference?
The genital or the groin area.
That's one area. I don't understand. You're just saying the same word twice. Just different word.
I don't know what you want from him.
I just say the groin area.
Maybe he's trying to be inclusive.
Just say in your bathing suit area for all the kids who are listening.
What about people who don't identify with groin areas?
Well, if you don't have a groin, then I guess you're not going to feel monkeypox down there. It's Barbie and Ken. I just have a hump. And while it's not an STD, it does kind of sound like it, right? But it's not technically an STD. It is disproportionately impacting a certain demographic. And you're not supposed to talk about it, which seems like you're doing a disservice when you don't talk about the very specific demographic that right now has been dealing with this at disproportionate rates. You see, when something negatively impacts Black folks at disproportionate rates, when you can blame white people, or when something impacts gay people at disproportionate rates, when you can blame straight people, whatever it is, the wokeness, you're supposed to point it out. In this case, the vast majority of people who have monkeypox, gay and bisexual men, they do also say men who identify as gay or bisexual. Men who have hooked up with other dudes, in this case, due to two raves in Europe. I don't know what they're doing at their raves there. I've been to a few here, like Soto. I guess it's not a rave, though. It was a concert with electronic music. It's the closest I can get to a rave. No sex happening, not that I saw. But everyone was hooking up with each other. And I'm assuming, what do they say? Dropping the E.
The last thing anyone in the world has ever pictured is Jason Rance at a rave. Do you go in like your suit jacket, shirt, and tie and everything?
I have a pacifier around my neck.
Instead of a tie?
Because of the ecstasy, which I guess makes you grind your teeth.
So is that like a bolo tie for you then? Your ecstasy
pacifier? Well, I mean,
pacifier?
Had a tie on. I always have a tie. That's just a dumb question. It's still 1,000 degrees because the air conditioning went off and I'm still in a tie in the studio. That's called commitment to a brand, even though the camera doesn't even work in here. So it is impacting people who are gay and bisexual. And it's obviously true that those are not the only folks who can get this, but they're the ones who are being disproportionately impacted. It can be shared sexually. It could be shared through bedding that's shared. It could be shared via just body contact, body fluid, getting a little bit close to that sore that you didn't realize was a sore. And instead of being honest about who it impacts, you get folks like Duchin trying to downplay it, trying to pretend that everyone is equally at risk, when that's not how it works in this case.
People should understand that this disease can affect anyone, and that those who are most at risk are those who have had close physical contact with someone with monkeypox. The risk is not limited to men who have sex with men.
Correct. But if it spread because dudes were hooking up at a rave and those people come over to whatever country they left Europe from and then hook up with other gay men, which they're going to hook up with instead of women because they're gay, well, then obviously there is a reason to point this out in a significant way. Now, if it was a heterosexual swingers club, maybe they do that probably in Czechoslovakia because that's what they do. If it was a heterosexual swinger club, we would say that. We would say that. Hey, other you swingers or any open marriages, just be careful. Check to make sure there aren't open pus-filled blah, blah, blahs all over the place. See, that's a monkeypox. Why can't we just... This is the equivalent of saying heart disease can impact anyone. I mean, sure, it might impact you more if you're overweight, but it can impact anyone. No, you focus on the people that you need to focus on. We don't say lung cancer can affect anyone. That's true, but who do we focus on? The ones who smoke. Why is that controversial? If there was a monkey, if monkeypox was disproportionately impacting Asians who look Latino, would you not want to know? Or should they say, well, you know, listen, Asian or Latino, it could impact you. It can impact anyone. Wouldn't you want to know if 99% impacted the Asians who look Latino? Wouldn't that impact your ability to sort of be on the lookout a little bit more? Wouldn't you be a little bit more on guard?
Yeah, that might heighten my guard a little bit.
It's going after
producers too.
Yeah, well, no, it doesn't actually. So you're fine.
Okay.
And let's be honest, if it did, you'd still also be fine. Glorified button pusher. I don't understand this notion that, oh, it's stigmatizing a demographic. How is it stigmatizing it? It goes away in 2 to 4 weeks. Stigmatizing a population is pretending that they don't actually exist. That, I think, is more stigmatizing. It's absurd. By the way, the smallpox vaccine appears to be about 85% effective at preventing monkeypox.
Mandate it.
And it's, if you want to keep your job,
print out cards, make everybody carry it everywhere that they go. Photos on your phone. Share it with your employer.
I want a monkeypox fax. Monkeypox fax passport. It's too hard to say.
Yeah.
Monkeypox vax passport.
Every vaccine must be mandated now.
Speaking of which, by the way, did you see who got COVID today?
You know what? I did. I did see who got COVID today. Governor Jay Inslee got COVID today.
But he shames people who aren't being careful.
He does do that.
Did he send out a tweet saying, my symptoms, look up this tweet, my symptoms are mild, but I sure am grateful I got the vaccine and the booster. It kept me out of the hospital. Something like that.
Do you think it'd be on his personal or his government account?
Government. Because you are legally obligated as a politician to announce your status and then immediately pivot to promoting the vaccine and booster.
Today I tested positive for COVID-19. I have only very mild symptoms and I am thankful to be vaccinated and boosted. I hope all eligible Washingtonians consider getting their booster, which is for our best tool for preventing the serious illness.
At least he's not saying it'll stop the spread. He used a different word. You're supposed to say grateful. He said thankful. He must have been hearing everyone call out the folks who say grateful because it's a script. How's Trudy doing?
No word on Trudy yet.
She's the only one I care about in that household because in my head, she's just trying to get out.
Lieutenant Governor Denny Heck also working from home after positive COVID test.
He's a jerk. I don't care about him. I'm sure they'll all be fine. I'm kidding. Not about him being a jerk, but I care about everyone equally. Even Denny Heck.
But he's a jerk.
Who's a heck of a jerk. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send a text.
Yum.
Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rance Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services, online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in. And we start actually in a parking lot, but a parking lot at the Issaquah Alps, where they are seeing a whole bunch of car break-ins at the trailhead lots. The King County Sheriff's Office say that the folks who are parking there are becoming targets, similar to what you would see at a, you know, parking lot for an apartment. Items get targeted in the break-in. They're looking in your cars for very specific items. Sometimes, moreover, what they'll do is just break and see what they can find. Jeff Lauder is an avid hiker in the area, according to Cairo 7 TV. He said he started noticing this problem back in April. He went to one of the trailheads. And he said it's gotten so bad in recent months, several hikers have told him they leave their car windows open and their doors unlocked because they just want to avoid getting the glass smashed.
Not a bad idea.
It's not an awful idea unless they steal your car, but so far they haven't really seemed interested in stealing cars. They're just going in and stealing what they can. And obviously, they're doing it right now, probably before it gets crazy crowded. Now we've got the people who are the hardcore hikers who want to get in a few extra hikes before it gets crowded because of the weather and more people are out. Because obviously, the more people in the parking lot, the harder it is to go and steal without people spotting you. So here's Jeff. He thinks more communication and police reports can help.
Please report it to somebody. So that at least the hiking community, if not the hiking community and law enforcement, can know where this is happening, and we can warn people, you know, where the greatest risk is. What's the point of having all of these beautiful trails if we don't feel like we can go enjoy them?
Oh, shut up. Why did we? You should have cut that part out, and I don't like him.
You didn't like him from the beginning.
Okay, that's fair.
You, you saw avid hiker in the lead, and you said...
Because I just knew that it would turn into, I'm a purist. I enjoy nature for what, you know, and put your phones away.
Name one hiker you've ever liked. Exactly.
No, you can't. I'm not claiming to like hikers.
I know, and this guy was titled a hiker, so you were immediately going to...
He was titled an avid hiker.
Yeah.
Which so just means no insufferable
chance.
To me.
No chance you were going to like
him. And by the way, these people are probably getting their phones stolen, because they're the types of people who don't bring their phones out.
They should just leave it at home on the charger then. Don't leave it in your car.
Well, you gotta get home. What if you get a flat?
Okay, people got flats in 1950. There was no cell phones then. Figure it out.
Oh my god.
Stop hiking. How about that?
I'm totally okay with that. In fact, in solidarity with the hiking community, until crime is completely eradicated, never going on a hike.
That's smart. No.
I will never go on a hike until we figure out the crime crisis. This is like Brad Pitt. I'm never getting married until gays can get married. And he never thought that was going to happen. And then gay couples could start to get married. He's all like, oh my God, I'm out. No, I'm out. I was lying. I want to live the bachelor lifestyle. This story is actually terrifying. I wanted to get to it yesterday. Obviously, we couldn't. It comes from Como. Three men impersonated police officers as they burst into a home on Mercer Island on Tuesday morning, really early, so Monday overnight into Tuesday morning, 2 a.m. The homeowners quickly figured out that the suspects were not actual police. They don't explain how. They quickly figured it out.
Kicking down the door, maybe, is...
Well, that's not... No. They had to have said, yo, I'm an officer of the law. Something like that. Something you would hear on Law and Order.
Sounds like Malibu's Most Wanted to me.
Or that. They say the suspects remained in the house for about 50 to 30 seconds before leaving. An investigation found that they were armed with multiple firearms. Here's the weird part, and I don't get this one. Nothing was taken from the house, and no one was hurt. Why'd they do it?
Well, you said that They were in there for 30 to 50 seconds. What can you steal in 30 to 50 seconds?
You can steal a lot of stuff. Ask the person who broke into Jeff's car.
I don't know. Maybe they went in there and they were like, oh, someone's home.
They kicked the door down screaming, we're police officers, is my guess. They definitely kicked the door down. So if you were trying to just sneak in, that wouldn't work. This would clearly catch the attention of people around. It sounds like a prank.
Like a not funny prank? One of those pranks?
Doesn't this sound like a prank?
Yeah, like an 18-year-old just wanted to kick a door in or something.
They say three adult males, but that can mean an 18-year-old.
Yeah, high school football player who looks very large.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, no, never mind. The suspects fired a gun as they fled. Well, why did they do that? Why didn't they take anything? This one is weird. It's terrifying. And I would be able to immediately find if someone's a cop. I'm like, I don't recognize you. I don't know your name. Never heard of you. I know all the cops here.
You memorize badge numbers. You have every badge number in the state memorized.
Yep. 3, 4, 7, 12.
Don't out them.
If you see a wasp nest in Ferndale, or really in Whatcom County, the state is asking you not to get rid of it, not to eradicate it, but to adopt it. Oh, that's so adorable. Asian giant hornets. Asian American giant hornets apparently eat paper wasps. I don't know what that is. I'm assuming it's a type of wasp, using my college education. And so they say watching their nests can help them find the Asian American giant hornets.
We'll be looking to see if there is any Asian giant hornet activity on these paper wasp nests.
That's Sven Schurer.
Oh, yeah. Good
from
guy.
The state. Not a good guy. He said Asian giant hornets.
Yeah, a little.
He didn't say Asian American, and that is not the way to do things.
Not super inclusive of Sven Schurer.
Sven, you better get on the inclusivity bandwagon, my friend. He said, anyone who knows of a paper wasp nest, paper wasp is hard to say. You're asked to register it on the State Department of Agriculture's website and then provide weekly updates on how the nest is doing. How the hell are you supposed to know how a nest is? What does that even mean?
Take notes.
What would notes? Higher activity this morning. There was a little bit of a weather issue, but this has got they ran for cover.
Has it gotten larger? Has it gotten smaller?
Do nests grow?
Yeah, they built them.
Yeah, but they don't go that big.
Yeah, they need more space in it.
You're supposed to get up close. Today I took my measurement out there. I got stung a few times, but I found it grew by a centimeter.
It's like adding an extension onto your home. The bees do it too, or the wasps.
They're wasps, you dummy.
Sorry.
Not bees. There's a difference.
In 2021, all three of our nests basically came from public reports where folks had noticed Asian giant hornets feeding on the paper wasps in these paper wasp nests.
Cannibals.
Wasps nests.
Anything with an S and then another S a letter later is too hard to
say. Like crisps?
Yeah, can't say it. Crisps. The invasive hornets, they decapitate local bees and wasps, and then they eat them.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of a paper wasp. Wasp stands no chance to an Asian American giant murder hornet.
Yeah, an Asian American giant murder hornet is huge. It's like the size of a basketball.
At least.
That's why it's so easy to find. You would think that Sven Schurer from the Department of Agriculture would be able to track these bad boys down. Or women. They could be women. Or Z. They could be they. The state plans to begin Asian American giant murder hornet trapping season in Whatcom County during the midsummer month.
Just about anybody who has a paper wasp nest on their property can actually help the cause by simply snapping a photo and just checking in on the internet once a week or so and letting us know, hey, I've seen hornets, or hey, I have not. We believe this will really help paint a picture.
Oh my God, you're not paying for that either. It's free, more free labor. They wanted to set up the little traps for the Asian American giant murder hornets.
The state loves free labor.
They really do. But by the way, God forbid, we don't pay our intern. Oh, all of a sudden, people get mad. Lawsuits get threatened. Oh, they're not supposed to work during off hours. Why are they doing you personal chores on weekends? Shut up. Why don't you figure out what's going on in your own household? Look at Department of Agriculture. And by the way, how are you supposed to know what a paper wasp? Is that the only wasp that we have?
I've been trying to figure that out ever since you brought up paper wasps. I can tell zero difference between a standard wasp and their nests look the exact same.
Yeah, so... So what? You know, it sometimes feels like these people think everyone's as nerdy about bugs as they are.
As Sven Schreiber.
How is anyone supposed to figure that out? Do they make paper? What are they called? Are they thin like paper?
Paper wasps are not as bright and may have red patches. So be on the lookout for red patches.
How are you going to see a red patch on a little tiny wasp?
Binoculars, Jason.
You need a microscope. Binoculars aren't going to work. You're going to have to grab one, freeze it, and then give it a look.
See?
And then hopefully it doesn't defrost and then attack you. That can't be true. Is that true? You can freeze beat? No, it's not.
And then
not.
It comes back to life.
That is not true.
It's 100% true.
That's not, that cannot
be true.
I caught
a bee in a jar, put it in a freezer, and then I tied a string around its neck.
How long was it in the freezer?
20 minutes. They're small.
That's torture. You tortured a bee.
It came back to life. Immediately.
So now it's a zombie.
No.
You had a zombie. You might be responsible. There's going to be like zombie wasps.
I mean, could it really be worse than Asian American giant murder hornets? Where do they have?
They're zombies.
We have murder hornets, so zombie wasp.
The only way you can get rid of them is decapitate.
Which is where the Asian American giant murder hornet comes in.
But then you cause that problem because then they proliferate. And you got to get rid of them. And I don't know how to get rid of them except you put a little string around their neck. Catch them in one of those little things.
Got to freeze them first to put the string around their neck.
Well, that's going to take more than 20 minutes to freeze that bad boy because, again, that thing is huge. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. Don't forget, if you ever miss a moment of the show, you can subscribe to our podcast. Text the keyword podcast to 1-800-465-8770. Text podcast to 1-800-465-8770. There was a prolific homeless offender who, over the weekend, apparently after cutting off his ankle bracelet, decided to steal a car with a 5-year-old child inside. And he has just been charged by King County prosecutors of attempted kidnapping in the first degree, attempted robbery in the second degree, assault in the third degree, assault in the fourth degree, and theft of a motor vehicle. He is someone who should not have been out on the streets, but of course was, because we live in a county, really in a state, that doesn't take criminals seriously. And on top of that, we have activists who will indiscriminately pay the bail of criminal suspects. Now, in this case, it happened in broad daylight. It happened right after a baseball game, a kids game at Ross Playfield Park in Ballard.
Honestly, my heart was just like, I was so freaked out.
Ryan Popplewell, just 32 years old. Again, he's homeless. Jumped into a father's running car, driving away with it while the father's 5-year-old kid was inside.
All of a sudden, I heard someone running down the street yelling, you know, where's my son? Where's my son? In a way that any parent would recognize is pure terror, really, like your worst nightmare. The next thing I knew, I see the man pulling his son out.
That man was the father, of course. He jumped through an open car window. He grabbed his kid. They end up falling onto the ground, minor injuries. And at that point, there were other people who were chasing Popplewell, surrounding the car. And at that point, the suspect ditched the vehicle and then ran away to a tent.
And it's scary because I have like almost a 3-year-old now. So they thought of like my child getting taken. That's a parent's most scariest moment.
And of course, prolific offender, a guy who was bailed out twice by the Northwest Community Bail Fund. We've talked about them a lot. When people went and chased him, they say the man pepper sprayed one of the Good Samaritans. He changed into a different T-shirt while in the tent, thinking he would be able to evade the police. Police end up catching him. This witness, talking to Como TV, obviously says, we've got a prolific offender problem.
Sometimes people just tend to get arrested and then they get released, but they don't really get help. So if there's a better program to help them out so that they don't end up being violent again instead of just releasing them.
This person has a good soul. She has a good heart, right? if we can help, we should help instead of incarcerate. And I agree with that for the most part. Obviously, if you're committing a murder, I'm no longer interested in helping you. I want you to suffer, frankly. I want you to get the death penalty. But if you're clearly dealing with some sort of issue, whatever the issue is, I would like to see them get help first. If they don't want the help, then okay, I don't want to give you any more compassion. I'm done. I'm compassioned out. At some point, we have to step up and say that this is a problem that needs to be addressed. And what I find encouraging, whenever talking about stories like this, we hear more and more folks who will acknowledge the problem of prolific offenders and the criminal justice system that, thanks in large part to judges and prosecutors sometimes, but a lot of judges, they just refuse to put someone in jail. They refuse. And guess what happens? That person continues to commit crimes. Sometimes it's violent, sometimes it's not, but there are always victims. And every single one of those victims, that is a crime that was preventable. Now, we're not going to be able to prevent all crime, and we're not going to be able to prevent all first-time criminals. But we can certainly prevent a second-time crime from one of the criminals when we keep them in jail. Oh, well, eventually they're going to get home. Yeah, okay, eventually they will. If they're in jail for a month, guess what? That's a month in which they are not committing another crime, not creating another victim, not escalating their criminal behavior. Because what people have a tendency to forget or ignore, and maybe some people don't even realize this, that, you know, criminals have a tendency, although not always, but they have a tendency to escalate their criminal behavior. Because when you get away with criminal behavior, you say to yourself, oh, I got away with this. I wonder if I can get away with going one step further. And then they end up doing that. And sometimes, especially here, they get away with it. Knowing that, hey, what's the worst that can happen if I get caught? I'll get in front of a judge who's going to release me in a day. I'm not wrong. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770. In the aftermath of the mass shooting in Texas yesterday, we hear a lot of people say, we need reasonable gun control. And yet we don't ever hear what it is they're talking about. What is your plan? What do you think needs to happen to prevent a future Salvador Ramos? Okay, well, let's explore some of the ideas that might be floating out there and see if they're reasonable.